Welcome to the Lambs to Lions podcast. Thank you for joining us. Whether you are exploring your faith in God or looking to grow deeper in your walk with Christ, you're going to be encouraged, challenged, and transformed by this teaching from God's Word.
Today we are talking about hope.
Come on.
As we were told, this is the first candle of Advent. It's interesting because I was listening to Coach James talk about some of the struggles he had this week, and I had a very similar experience throughout this week and writing this message. It was really interesting because I would sit down to write this, and then I'd wake up 2 hours later. I would try to write it, and I'd black out. It was really interesting. So I pieced it together what I wanted to say, but it's always interesting because when you're writing something or you're taught something, you tend to get challenged in it. So as you're listening to this, be prepared that, you know, you might have some tests on hope. And hope is something that you need to lead in. It's not something that you want to just leave sitting around. You want to lead in it. And the definition of hope is the confident expectation and trust that something good is coming, even when you can't see it yet. Wow. So Luke 1, it dives into a little bit. We're going to do Luke 1, 26 to 37. And this is the moment where Mary realizes and starts chatting with the angel about Jesus coming. And it's quite impactful. So I'm going to have you guys come up. We'll start with the men online. We'll take two verses each, and we'll go from there. We have Pastor Morris. Would you like to start us off? We're going to be Luke 1, 26 to 37 today.
All right. Love to start it off. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good
Luke
morning.
1, 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." 28 pass.
"And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." Past 30.
"But then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus.'" 32 pass.
"And he will be great. And will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end."
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, I love that pointer finger. Okay, where are we at? Verse 34?
Yeah. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Verse 36 back.
"Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail."
It's good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. So something that's incredible about that moment is that after she's told all these bold things, and knows there's a lot of joy that's coming, but there's also a lot of pain that's coming, she still states, "I am the Lord's servant." Her hope and joy in all of that, to me, is incredible. Because there's also a factor of being pregnant, like in that era too, of being pregnant before being married was a very big deal. So she was looking at getting looked down upon. She was looking at, you know, a lot of people saying a lot of things. So there was a few aspects to that. But I want to share with you guys one. I was trying to figure out how I would share hope, and one of those things is that we can do is we can share our own stories. Mm-hmm. And when we share our own stories, it also builds each other's faith. So I got three quick stories I wanted to share with you guys that have happened to my family and how hope brought us through. We got Coach DJ at the door.
So make sure you weren't an axe murderer.
Hello, Coach DJ.
Hello.
Well, all right. So the last 5-6 years have been incredible years. We've had 3 kiddos. We've moved. We've moved, I think, just about every year. And it's been wild. We've been pressing into ministry, and great things have been happening. So the years have been packed with joy. They've been packed with blessing, and they've been packed with trial. And in those trials, we get to learn, and we get to overcome. And one of the things that we know is that God will never waste a crisis. Mm-hmm. Nope. Can somebody read Hebrews 10:23 on your sheet for me? All right, Coach Rick, finger man.
Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise.
Yes.
God can be trusted to keep his promise. So what I'll share with you is about 5 years ago when we moved to Chilliwack, we had to figure out where we were going to live. So we gathered into a car from Alberta, drove 10 hours, made it here. As we drove into the city limits, we had 3 houses lined up that we were going to look at. And we had about 24 hours to lock down a house because I had to get back for work. So we drive in. The second we drive in, my wife gets a notification on her phone, sold. So our first house that we were going to look at, out of the question. So we're like, man, that stunk. Okay, well, we're just going to hold on to hope, but we're going to keep moving forward because we still got 2. And we have 1 that we really want. So we're going to go, we're driving, we pull up to the next house. We get up there, my wife looks at it, we don't even go inside. And she's like, babe, this ain't it. I'm like, oh, babe. okay, let's hold on to hope. So we don't even go in for the inspecting and all that stuff. And then we drive out to Cultus. And we had this one place we wanted to see, and my wife wanted it real bad. And pull up, and we both had this feeling like, okay, this is gonna happen. And we were praying about it, and as we're praying about it, the landlords show up. We go sit in the kitchen, we chat, and they turn out to be Christians, and we talk about God, why we're out here for ministry, and we throw at them, I was like, so here's the thing, rent needs to be this much for us to be able to do this. Like, done. And so we drove home the next day with a lockdown place to live. Wow. Yeah. And it was hope that brought us to that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was really exciting for us. Now, can somebody read Isaiah 40:31?
Yes, I'd love to. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Yes.
There we go. Okay, I don't know if anybody's ever experienced trying to find work, money being low, and then feeling faint. Okay, so that's when you really want to press into hope, press into the Lord. But a few months after we had moved out here, I had an opportunity to press into the church, take some time off work, and my wife had a job doing online media stuff. Anyhow, I come home one day, we're about 2 months into this thing, and she's like, babe, my job's coming to an end. So we're there, we're newly married, we're newly moved, and we're freshly broke. It's about 2:30 afternoon, and this is when I learned about this, and I, for whatever reason, it was just a God reason and a hope that I had, that God didn't bring us out here for it to end 2 months later.
Right.
So there's more to this story. So I said, babe, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go get a job. I love you. Bye. And that's what I did. I went out And I started applying at all these different places, and they're all places I really didn't want to work, but do whatever you need to support your family. And I'm getting a little discouraged, so I call Pastor Matt up. I'm like, hey, this is what's going down. You know, just could use some encouragement. And then for whatever reason, we got on the topic of Harleys. Naturally.
How about them?
Right? I don't know how that even came to be. Holy Spirit. That
must have been.
And at one point, we were talking about how it might be kind of fun to work at Harley. So what I did is after the phone call, I went and drove, and I parked across from there. And I'm like, well, can't hurt to call. So I call, give my they say, yeah, we'll take your resume, give my resume. Don't hear from them. So I go in the next day just to show some initiative. And by the grace of God, however it worked out, I ended up in a room in a meeting with the parts manager. And he's like, man, you're fast. I'm like, what do you mean? Well, we just put the ad up for this position an hour ago. It was incredible because now there was a new mission field, and it was the hope that God wasn't done yet that drove that forward, right? And in that, in our jobs, man, it should be our hope that we can get people saved or draw people closer to God. And it was really cool. I'll just share really quickly was that as I dove in there and I made a mark and a stand for what I believe, I started to get mocked and made fun of. Mm-hmm. And, right? So, and it's pretty normal in a shop environment when you have a stand and firm in your faith that mm-hmm. people make fun of you. And I found it amusing anyways, was there was a day that a tech had left, and this tech was carrying something on him that was really dark, and all the techs felt it. Mm. And they went to my manager, and this is all glory to God, just to be clear, but they went to my manager, and they said, hey, this is really messing with us, and we need Dalton to go over there and pray. Right? So it's nothing that I did, but through obedience, God is working for
right.
us. And through hope that we can make a difference where we live, God is working. So my manager comes up to me and is like, hey, man, so the techs need you to do like an exorcism or something. So I wait for the appropriate time, and I go over there, and I chat with all the techs, and we all stand in a circle. And they're getting a little nervous, right? They're like, so is the, are the bees going to shake and stuff? I was like, oh, maybe. But, you know, it's not the movies, but you never know. So, anyway, but we prayed, and it was a really humbling moment for all of them and myself just to see God move. And that was hope, again, active hope that led to that point. Mm-hmm. So it was really incredible to see. And it's those moments that keep me from growing weary going to work. So it's those moments, man, that you look for and drive for and strive for when you're going out into the world, into your jobs, whatever you do, to help you strive and move forward. So Isaiah 40:31 we just read. Let's do Jeremiah 29:11. Who would like that one? All right.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope.
Yeah, let's go.
This is good. Okay, so this is my last story I want to share with you. So just over 3 years ago, it's about 6 p.m. at night. It's dark out. I'm in my car. Totally strapped for cash, okay? My wife is pregnant. She's due any day. I'm trying to figure out, okay, Lord, how am I going to pay the next bill? And then it dawned on me a few days earlier. It's like, I'm going to get a fourth job, and I'm going to start working skip. That's what I'm going to do. So I'm there, day one on my job, ready to go, about to take an order, got a plan, and my phone rings.
Oh,
it's my wife. And she says, babe, it's time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm like, the part of me is frustrated because I had like, if I put in this many hours and then if I put in this many deliveries, it would have got us the payday, Lord. So why now? And she's like, babe, so I didn't say that to her because I was not. Yeah. Let's have some wisdom here.
Right? Someone else can deliver the pizza.
So, dropped everything, drove home, picked up my wife. We go to the hospital, and she gets induced. So we're about 20 hours into this thing. She's sore, and then she's like resting. I'm sore because if any of you guys had kids, you know about that green chair that sits in the corner that you lay up. You're getting sore, and then we're getting like 25 hours, and I'm getting bored. She's getting frustrated. So I'm like sitting at the window. We're at the top level, and I can see my car, and I'm waiting for people to walk past, and I blare the horn. I'm like, trying to keep myself busy. That was the fun. So we're hoping and we're praying that this is going to, you know, we're going to have this baby soon. We're hoping and we're praying. Hour 32 comes by, and so we're in the hospital 32 hours. She gets induced a second time. And I'm keeping the story kind of short, but a lot of things happen in this time. Anyhow, at hour 32, induced twice, we can now find out the baby is sideways. And he's, while there's trying to come out sideways, it's not working. Right? So my wife is screaming in pain. They're giving her different painkillers, and she is in the most pain I've ever seen her in. And she's screaming my name to ask the pain to stop, and I can't stop it. And that was probably one of the wildest feelings and most challenging feelings that I've felt. Because you also have to remember that I have all these things going on, plus the stress of this stuff, trying to keep the bills going. So that the nitro mask beside the bed was looking pretty good. A lot of different panic moments. In addition to this, my wife had, she had COVID at the time too. So after I was scrubbed up, they kicked me out because it was dumb rules. Anyways, I'm standing at the door. She's getting surgery and I don't know what's going on. And I'm excited to be a new father, and I'm ticked that I'm not there by her side. And I held myself from barging in there because the surgeons would have stopped. And so that was upsetting. But I'm standing there, I'm praying, I'm hoping, God, please, like, let everything go well, smooth, healthy baby. And then all of a sudden, red lights flashing, alarms, people rushing. And I couldn't be for certain that it was from that room, but I had a feeling it was from that room. So I prayed, and I hoped. And the alarm shut off. What I found out in that moment was that at a certain point, if you give fentanyl to a pregnant lady who's giving birth to a baby, past a certain point, the baby will take it on. So without asking her, they gave her fentanyl. And Wilder took on all of it. So he was immediately Narcan'd as he was born. So our hope and our prayer was that our baby would be okay, strong, independent. So I'm going to cut the story off there and lead to now. He is a strong young man.
Ready to preach every day. You know?
He loves, he's on fire for God. Do you have a question, Rick?
Sorry.
I'm trying to make a point. Oh, man. Okay. Sorry, Coach Rick. We love you. I need to finish the story really quick as I end this. So the hope and the prayer for a healthy baby come true. Perfect. So what happened with everything else going on with the finances and everything? Well, I'm going to tell you right now that we walked out of that hospital and I didn't know what was going to happen. My parents helped us. And then we get home and the church just blessed us in every way, shape, and form. And our church is incredible. And then past that, I went back to work a couple weeks later. And my boss was like, he was an old hardened biker dude, and just he's kind of a short, bald dude, but he was pretty cool. Anyways, we're chatting with him, and he's like, "Hey, Dalton, come back here." And he's like, "Hey, I took a collection, and he went to every staff member and he handed me an envelope of cash.
God was
working behind the scenes the entire time. And a lot of times that's how he is working. And he's letting us, you know, kind of figure it out. Like, what are we gonna lean on? Are we gonna lean on hope? Are we gonna lean on our faith? What are we gonna lean on? Because when we start leaning on our own thoughts and our own understandings, it doesn't go so hot. And the thing is, too, is we can hope, you know, we can hope sometimes that our kids will come to church. We can hope that when we eat McDonald's, we'll get skinny. We can hope that our marriages get better. But there's a difference between active and leading hope and hope on a shelf. Hope on a shelf. So here's the thing with our kiddos, just to touch base because it's something I'm passionate about. That's something where if you're in our house, that is it, you know, in my house, we will serve the Lord. So with that, it can be challenging and you got to deliver it, right? You know, but you want to have a foundation in your home of that, because if you lead them in that way, they won't depart from it. Right. And sure, they might make choices down the road that you might not like or be in alignment with, but at least that foundation's going to be in them, so they always know where to turn back to. That's huge.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is maybe you got to hope yourself into the gym if you have a goal, you know, or in your marriages, maybe you need to look, too, of like, okay, what can I do instead of what can she do for me? What can I do to take off of her plate? What can I do better? And in those moments, those are like humble moments, but it's active hope. It's active in your life. It's leading with that hope of something better and pressing in. And hope isn't something to be taken lightly or, again, placed on a shelf. We can call hope an action word, really, because when stuff hits the fan, it's hope that keeps you focused and in expectation for the end goal. And it's hope that keeps you driven. Biblical hope isn't passive. It's active trust. And Mary's hope was active trust in God. So your takeaway is don't put your hope on a shelf. Put it in action.
Good.
Well, I'm going to hand the floor off here in a second, but before I do, when it comes to this act of hope, there's only one hope, and that is Jesus. I want to give you guys an opportunity to have a relationship with him. Super easy. So I'm going to ask you guys to bow your heads and close your eyes and just repeat after me, Dear Lord,
I admit that I have sinned.
And I believe that you died on the cross, and you rose 3 days later. And today,
right here, right now,
I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name,
Amen.